Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Off-Grid Podcast with Tanda Ranch. I am Thomas, and I am just one part of Tanda Ranch. My wife, she is the other part, and we do have kids as well. But we are the two primary caretakers of our little off-grid property out there. This is episode two of the podcast that I'm currently trying to do. In this podcast here, we're going to talk about how we got our property, what we went through, our building, what we went through to get our building, and the pros and cons of it, like what all we had to do for it. So I'll go ahead and get started with that. So we found our property on the internet. It was on a website called landwatch.com. I believe it was landwatch.com. But anyway, we went there and we did a lot of research, like in different states, countries, or not really countries, but counties. And we searched around and we just kind of settled on the northeastern corner of Arizona. That's where it seemed like we were getting the most bang for our buck every time we looked around. We really didn't take in too much of the environment. Like, we wanted a nice place to stay, but I don't think we did enough research to say, hey, we want to live in this place right here, and with the understanding that it's extremely windy here, very dusty here. The soil is not the greatest for like growing stuff, but it's at the foot of the mountains. There are options for doing things like growing stuff. You just have to kind of take a different approach to it. You can't really just set all your crops into the ground, at least not where we are. It's a lot of sand, and it's a sandy loam, so to speak, sand, dirt mix. Juniper trees seem to grow great. Other than that, it's kind of a hit or miss with like certain vegetation and stuff like that. A lot of brush. But so we found our property on landwatch.com after doing a lot of research. And we just settled in this area here for a couple reasons. After we decided we wanted to be in Arizona, we decided on what part of Arizona. We wanted seasons, and we wanted an area where it wasn't very highly populated. We wanted to be able to get out here, kind of establish our own little world. And we ended up finding a company out here through Landwatch that actually sold the land out here. And basically it's a ranch, a giant ranch out here that sells parcels of their property, and they do them in parcels between 35 and 40. I think it's 42 acres was the biggest property that we saw, somewhere along those lines. But and so your property is off-grid, it's on a ranch, and our roads and stuff are pretty well maintained, but they're all dirt roads. We're just under 16 miles, or right at 16 miles off the pavement. So that's how we ended up with our property out here. And we chose the area mainly because we chose Apache County, to be more specific. We chose Apache County because the regulations there as far as off-grid living, it really seemed to lean towards the individual who wants to live off-grid. The regulations were not super strict. In the neighboring county and Navajo County. In Navajo County, the restrictions were quite a bit more, strict. You got to have more permits just to do, the simplest of things. And we didn't want to be under the thumb of really our government out here. And we wanted to just kind of do our own thing. So that's why we came out here. But also you get the good with the bad. You go to Navajo County, you get a lot bigger trees. The terrain is a little bit different, more mountainous in certain areas. I would say it's a little bit prettier, but I'm not complaining about where we are. We have an amazing view of the White Mountains out our porch, and we have a really great view of this night sky. The stars out here are absolutely amazing. It's really, if you've lived in a city your whole life and you've never been out in the middle of nowhere to look at the stars, it's a sight for sore eyes. It's beautiful. It absolutely is. And so that's why we kind of chose the area, was because it was very rural, but at the same time, there was a little bit of a community nearby, which was very nice. And everyone who we've met out here has been super, super friendly. And you can't judge a book by its cover, because you'll see some people out here that are a little bit different than others. And I give everybody a clean slate to start with, and we'll go from there. And I have really yet to meet, you know, anyone who I'm just like, I don't want to be around that person. Maybe one or two people, but other than that, everybody else has been really, really nice, and I'm really glad we chose this area. Are there other areas I would have liked to have lived off-grid? Sure. But I'm not disappointed in this one. So our living situation. We've already talked about how we found our property, why we chose this area. But our situation, like our living situation, we kind of went back and forth to start with. We decided, you know, do we want to do like a tent or a yurt? That was even thrown out there. But we were under the understanding that the winds were pretty tough out here, and if you have something like a yurt or a tent, it wouldn't last for long if you did. So we ultimately came out here. I did not. My wife did, and her sister and a couple of the kids, they came out here, and they started checking out prefabricated, like, barn dominiums. And that's what we went with. A lot of people will buy an RV and bring it out here and sit it down and start with that. We didn't really have the money to start with something like, you know, dropping $5,000-$10,000 on an RV, a nice one, to live in it for a year while we did everything else. We needed to kind of get into something and get into it quick. And so we kind of planned out, you know, we're going to do this, and in 3 months we're going to be out there. We left the Texas coast, Gulf Coast area down there near Houston. We literally set up and decided to do this over the course of 3 months as far as the moving portion of it went. We had actually bought the property almost a year prior with the goals of eventually getting out there, but when COVID hit and the climate kind of started to change a little bit politically, we said, you know what, let's go ahead and try to move this up and let's see what we can get figured out. And we were able to go through a barn dominium company, like a storage building company, and buy a building. Now, there were a couple of them out here in this area. There was Graceland Buildings, and there were Weather King Buildings, and then a couple like Tough Shed things off to the side. But those two right there seem to be catered more towards the individual who wants to actually live in their building versus building just a regular storage building. So we ended up going to Weather King and building our building online. You can kind of design it. They have a feature on there where you can do that. We checked out both of them, but we went with Weather King. It seems structurally a pretty sound building. The only complaint that I have with the Weather King building is our floor was made from like a composite wood, not particle wood, or not even a OSB. But it's like a composite. So it may hold up really good. But I was kind of expecting like a 3/4-inch plywood, which is what Graceland Buildings were using. And I kind of wish we were able to get the 3/4-inch plywood. So back to our building. Our building's, it's a 12 foot wide by 32 feet long. So it's only about 380 square feet is the footprint. It does have two lofts in it and like two areas that you can either turn into bedrooms or kitchen area. We turned one area into a bedroom and we turned the other area into like a kitchen living area. It's not very big. So you got to figure when you're looking at this, what's it going to look like with your furniture in it? It's not a lot, which is okay. We do the majority of our stuff. I'm either at work or everybody else is outside tending to animals or kind of doing our things around there, trying to improve the property and whatnot. I wish we would have been able to get When we got our building was pretty much bare bones. And when we got it, we got out here about 7 days prior to our building being delivered, because we actually had to go in, clear out a driveway. And this is all stuff you got to consider. We had to clear out a driveway and a way for them to actually get the building onto the property. Because a lot of these properties, if you're trying to put a building into it, the terrain is not very conducive to using a truck and a trailer. So you have to be able to either pay someone to clear it out, or you got to do it yourself. And so we chose to do it ourselves. It wasn't too bad, but you know, everyone's situation is different. A lot of people will have someone come out with like a backhoe or a tractor or something that can grade a driveway, and they'll do that. We were pretty lucky. We didn't have to do that. Once our building got put in, they leveled it for us. We did help, but we had to get like some pavers, like the 12 by 12, 4-inch thick pavers to put the building on and stack them to level it. And then we also used some wood to help do the fine tuning as well. Once our building was there, it was pretty much a shell. We still needed to insulate it, I wish we had done our floors at that point there, because now we have everything inside there and our floors are still pretty bare. Like, we need to go back and finish up our floor, and that's going to be next to impossible with everything that's already in there. So just something to think about. If you get your building out there, maybe consider putting your stuff into storage first, or have a place to store, even if it's for just a week, just to get your floor done. Our biggest reason why we didn't get a floor done right away was during the height of like COVID, and that's when we were doing all this, getting anything from Home Depot or Lowe's was like next to impossible. So we just had a big problem trying to do that. We bought a lot of our materials while we were in Texas, because they were about $2 or $3 cheaper per sheet of wood. So we were able to do that, but there were a lot of things that if you can buy it cheaper where you're at now and bring it with you, that's not a bad option. So it's just something to consider. So that's our situation with our building now. Since we've gotten our building put out there and it is livable, we have also acquired an RV as like an extra space for one of the kids. Our older kids, they can stay in the RV. And then we're thinking about getting another little RV as well to add to that, because we do have kids that live, that are my kids in particular, live with their mother back in Texas. And when they come out, it would be nice for them to have their own little spot to hang out. So that's what we're doing. And we keep our eyes open on Craigslist and Marketplace, offer up for all kinds of different things. In an area like where we're at, there's a lot of stuff where people buy building materials, finish their project, and all of a sudden they've got extra stuff sitting around. So that happens. And we have gotten pretty lucky with some of that, so we miss out on a lot of it too. So one last thing we want to talk about on this one here is, what have we gotten done since then? So like I was saying, we got our building in. We've got the insulation in. It's a livable situation. We got plumbing. We have on-demand water pumps, which is something you're going to want. We have a Berkey water filter to keep our water clean whenever we're using it. It's expensive, the Berkey water filter is, but it's probably the best thing we have bought for living off-grid, or one of the best, aside from our solar system. We did go through and we bought a prepackaged solar system over here in the town next to ours, in Sholo, from White Mountain Solar. I'll give them a shout out. They have been excellent. And we know a couple of the guys that work there. But we bought our solar from them and we got it set up. So we have our solar system, we have our on-demand water pumps, and we also have our Berkey water filter. And then we've also, since we've came out there, we've acquired livestock and animals. As it sits right now, I believe we have, I think it's 7 goats now. We have 3 males, 3 females, and actually a baby goat that was born just over 2 weeks ago. And she is absolutely adorable. We have about 14 chickens, 10 of which, or 9 of which are adults. The rest are chicks that we've hatched. Actually, our ducks actually hatched our chickens, oddly enough. But we do have Muscovy ducks, and we also have regular barnyard ducks, I guess you would call them. And we also have meat rabbits. So a lot of those, like for the goats, we use them for the milk. The male goats, they will be used as kind of to help breed with the females. And then, of course, we don't need all those male goats. So some of the male goats may end up becoming meat goats. And as bad as that sounds, the thing is we're trying to become self-sustained. And we are definitely, omnivores. We eat our meat. We eat our vegetables. We use the female goats for the milk. And our chickens and ducks are for the eggs. And then eventually our rabbits will be meat rabbits. On the average, a meat rabbit, a buck and a doe rabbit, they can produce almost 120 pounds worth of meat a year. We have two does. So at that point there, if we get 200 pounds worth of meat a year from rabbits, that's a lot of meat to go with our eggs. So we're doing that right now. We're going to eventually get set up to do some rain catchment as well, so that way we can have our own water without having to have our water trucked in. We do have water totes. Eventually we would like to get a giant water tank, but we currently use water totes for this. And but it's been really good. Like, we've never had any problems with our water going bad or anything like that. We usually use two water totes for the animals, two water totes for us. And if it's just the two of us out there at the time, which sometimes our kids are coming and going, it's just the two of us, it'll last us about a month and a half. If it's three of us, it's amazing how much another person uses water. For whatever reason, that's just the way it is. So it's not bad at all. Our solar system, we are able to power a deep freezer, a regular refrigerator, all of our water pumps, our lighting, all of our electronic devices in the house, especially during the summer when we have a lot of sunlight. In the wintertime, you might have to use the generator every once in a while. We have a 5,000 watt generator. If it's running gasoline, it's running propane, it only does 4,000 watts. But a generator is something you're going to want. We went with a dual fuel, so that way it left us with options. I have found personally out here that anything you can do that will leave you with some options. You don't want to be restricted to one thing, because last thing you want to do is get a gas generator and run out of gas and realize you got to go into town and get a gas can full of gas. If you have a dual fuel one, you know, it leaves you the option of using propane or gasoline. And you know, you usually have one or the other, or it's easier to store one or the other, or both. You never want to be without one or the other. So that's about it for right now. We talked about how we found our property. We talked about why we chose the area. We talked about our building and other buildings that we do have, what we've done, and then we also talked about kind of briefly on our livestock and animals. There's a lot more with the livestock and animals to talk about. I'll get to that on another episode. But that's about it. Oh, one last thing I wanted to mention. When you're looking at your property, take a good look at how you're going to get to your property. A lot of the roads where we are contain a lot of clay and sand. And when it rains out here, the roads become at some point impassable, unless you have a nice really big four-wheel drive vehicle. When we came out here with a Kia Soul and a Ford Focus. Great when the roads are dry, not so much when the roads are wet. So if you're going to come out here, you need to really be prepared. Have at least one four-wheel drive vehicle that you can take in and out. Since then, we still have the Focus because it does get good gas mileage. It gets about 40 miles a gallon. And we've acquired a Suburban that's four-wheel drive. And we've also acquired a Isuzu Trooper, which is also four-wheel drive. And that's my little toy there. But yeah, that's about it for now. When it comes to dealing with livestock, I'll talk about that with a whole other episode. I hope y'all enjoy the podcast. If you can, share it. I'm on Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. I'm going to try to keep these uploading. There's always challenges, and there's always something to talk about that's going on out here. So just keep in touch. I hope to hear from y'all. Thanks.